KWWN, Las Vegas. Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
O'clock hour. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 766-1400. You can call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Phone number, Adam Hill, TI, Cofield, San Diego, Griffin, Finley, Toyota, Studios. Much to get to. We'll make some picks for the weekend in about 45 minutes, give you a couple of nuggets, especially on Ohio State, Notre Dame. We'll have a Notre Dame backer in. He better not say we. We'll tell McKinnell. He might say it, though. He might say it. He's a fan. He's a tried and true fan. What can you do? You can watch us right now up on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. So search, find, watch. Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Adam Hill, should Cam Newton be given a credential for Radio Row in New Orleans?
Yeah, because I want to see the drama. I'm bringing the popcorn.
Okay. Well, we'll explain why there might be an issue. So going back to last week, Cam Newton did a response video to what he saw on Whitlock's show. Jason Whitlock was talking about peanut butter skin and huge racks in that Joy Taylor kerfuffle. And he and Marcellus Wiley actually told some really good workplace stories about the workplace at Fox over the years. So the comments about Joy got Cam Newton really upset. So he basically suggested, like, keep her name out of your mouth because you don't get to be with Tookus of that quality, right? That's what he was saying last week. So then Steve came on our show and also on Whitlock's show, was talking about Cam Newton. So Cam plays back. Steve is a regular of ours on Monday. Cam plays back what Steve Kim was saying about him, calling him a name and responding with, I think, a threat to fight him.
Here's my message to Cam. My guy. No. You're not my guy. Come on. The thing that is interesting about what he said about you, Cam really showed what a simpleton he is, Jason. You never really...
Pause right there. I'm going to tell you like this. I'm going to put both of y'all, Jason Whitlock and Steve Kim, in the U2 movement. I'll put it like this, bro. If I see you, all I ask is keep that same energy. Mr. Kim, simp, cool. Keep that same energy when I see you.
Okay, what does that mean?
I think Steve Kim called him a simp and said basically he's doing this just so he can try to maintain his sexual relationship with Joy Taylor.
Okay, but what does the keep the same energy?
Oh, I think you know what it means. It means, hey, come when you see me, say it. Don't come up to me and be like, oh, Cam, hey, cool, good to see you, man. Say it.
Do you think Steve would say it?
No.
I do think Steve would say it. Steve often gets threatened by fighters, so I don't think he'd be bothered by it. But when I say a credential, there is a process to go through and a behavior that is expected at media events. So at the Super Bowl, will be, I don't think Steve Kim will be there, but Jason Whitlock might be there somewhere. So wait, are we all
is
cool
there? Is there? Because they... Be careful about this.
You want to complain about who they let in?
Well, yes, that too. But they essentially, at Radio Row last year, made it so there'd be a giant brawl, and there was.
They did. I don't remember that.
Yeah, between two boxers.
Oh, as a promotion. That's interesting.
And there was a giant brawl.
You think the NFL really knew that could happen?
They let them back in. They were fighting. They were trying to throw punches. They escorted them out and then let them back in to fight.
All right.
I was there that day, and I think that's the first time I actually met Adam Hill. I'm sure he doesn't.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, yes. And there is, like, as you know, it's different times of the day. Like, would that have happened at noon? Probably not. But at, like, 7 o'clock at night? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it happens. On Friday when everybody's gone.
Was that Haney and Garcia?
Yeah.
My Lord, that's a lifetime ago, and it's less than a year ago.
I know.
All that's happened with those guys, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, on the whole thing with Cam, because I don't think we need to get into who's going to fight who, and I actually think you've lost the battle when you're threatening to fight people, or you say you're not going to name call, and then you name call. I don't like the name calling, and then you start name calling. You've kind of stooped to a level that guys like Whitlock and Steve want you to stoop to. So you've
What did he call them?
I think your simp thing. I think he was calling Steve Kim a simp.
No, I thought he was saying Steve Kim called him that.
I didn't hear that part.
Well, I think it was in a different part of the clip. Obviously that's a very short part of what
was
said.
He did. I mean, this isn't name calling. He did say at the end when he was getting really flustered, Cam Newton. He like muttered, huge rack, and he's like to Whitlock. He's like, you've got a huge rack. Like,
but they did call him a simpleton.
Right, which by the way is different than a simp.
Sure,
is it not?
Yeah, for sure.
They did name call, but then he also, I'm telling you, on the longer clip, he said, I'm not into name calling. I'm not going to name call. I'm like, you do, Cam. You do name call.
Of course.
It's the whole thing is childish. And really, the reason they got into him was Cam Newton is now becoming, and maybe he's just grown up. It's also, very helpful to be in the media and, in his case, like defend women. But I don't know. I don't know how to say, who's the now Rams reporter? It's Jordan. How do you say your last name?
Rodrigue.
R-O-D. Yeah, so Jordan Rodrigue. They pointed out that Cam, while he was playing, laughed at Jordan Rodrigue for asking a football question. Like, stop for a second. He's like, I think it's really funny that, women are asking hardcore football questions. But now you have all the respect in the world for Joy Taylor. You're going to protect her.
Yeah.
But you know what? As I pointed out, Michael Strahan has somehow made this transition. Because I remember Michael Strahan trying to talk down Kelly Knocke after he didn't like a question. And he's like, a man does this on a team. A man does that. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? So he certainly made the complete turnabout because he works with women all the time, and now he's morning show guy.
You can change. You can evolve.
We can all change. Well, I guess we're safe on this show in saying that we'd like to bring Jim Gray on during Radio Row and throw him off the show, and also find a way, I guess, as a group to just go offensive line, I guess, on the outkick set if we can. Wouldn't that be another good example after the one guy went after Q?
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, so
let's all go down to New Orleans and plan on fighting big and small.
Well, according to the outkick, they wouldn't know who Q was if he approached. So why would it matter?
That's a good point. So if he does, they'll have no idea.
Like some guy attacked us.
It's so stupid. What a dumb bit that is. But they have a whole audience that loves it. Number three.
Number three.
Adam, gut feeling with Shedeur Sanders. Will he be allowed to be drafted by anyone? The Titans may have a leg up in terms of scouting. Is Deion going to allow his kid eventually to play for Tennessee if they can get him?
Well, that was more with Pac-Man Jones today, and I'm just going to use Pac-Man Jones as the knower of all. Yes. Especially when it comes to Deion Sanders, because they are friends. It's not like he's a reporter asking him questions. It's his friend asking him questions. He said the most important thing in the world to Shedeur and Deion is to be the number one pick. They don't really care who it's to if Deion's not coaching. He just wants to be number one. And he kind of insinuated that the Raiders could be trading up to get that pick. And that is what would have happened if Deion would have taken the job. But, of course, it didn't really get that far with the Raiders. So now he said the most important thing is number one. Now, Pac-Man was implying that the Titans will be trading the first pick because they don't need a quarterback. I don't know how accurate that is. I think the Titans do need a quarterback, and they probably will be looking at quarterbacks in the upcoming draft, and they will have the opportunity to look at him first because the Titans offensive coaches will be coaching Shedeur in the East-West Shrine game coming up in just a couple of weeks. The Raiders likely will not have a coach by that point, so they will not be involved in something like that. They won't even have a coach there to watch, most likely, because they probably won't have one hired. But, yeah, they'll have the first chance to coach him, which could be good or bad for Shedeur. If they love him, fall in love with him, and they keep him around. If he quickly picks up their playbook, shows them everything they need, they could take them, and if they feel like they don't work well together, then they can know that they're moving on in another direction.
If you were Deion Sanders and you had control of where your son could go, in theory, would you let him go play for Tennessee?
I don't know. I mean, there's not a quarterback needy team that I think I'd be thrilled with my kid going through right now.
A lot of shaky organizations out there.
There is.
When you talk to people who are connected around the league, what do they make of the Titans and the last 2 years where Vrabel goes bye-bye and then Carthon goes bye-bye?
Yeah, it sounds like from most accounts there's been kind of a power struggle between the coach and the GM, and it's maybe the reason a lot of teams now are, you know, looking at having coaches and GMs that are more of a, not a package deal, but guys that work well together to avoid that kind of a power struggle where, you know, Vrabel basically said him or me, and then this year Carthon said him or me. And they chose the other direction both times. It sounds like there's been kind of a battle back and forth. And usually when that happens, it's up to somebody else above them to be the one to say, like, hey, we need to get this in order and work together. We can't be all pulling in different directions. And that's kind of why the Titans have not been successful recently.
Number two.
So, Adam, could it go even further than that where agents are trying to dictate the pairing and there's a chance that because, frankly, the racial makeup at times in this country where everyone isn't buddy-buddy and maybe, you know, your closest friend might not be from, you know, someone of a different race. How could this be potentially affecting GM-coach duos?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I think if you really are interested in this, and you should be, because I think it's really, really fascinating, not only just as it relates to the race issue, but also just how hirings are done and why some teams are successful and why some teams are not. ESPN put out a really, really long piece about this today. I don't think a lot of people read it. It's one of those things where, like, you know, stories get bumped up and moved around when a lot of people are reading them, and this was kind of buried, and it's really, really long. So I know a lot of people don't love reading. But it was a deep dive into what I just mentioned of package deals around the NFL. And oftentimes it's an agent dictating to a team, like, hey, if you're going to hire a coach that I represent, you also have to hire a GM that I represent, and maybe coordinators and assistant GMs and other people around the building, lead scouts, that kind of thing, that I represent. And there's so few agents that represent coaches, because obviously most of the money is in the player agents. So the coach agents, there's kind of more of a consolidation of power. And a lot of these agents are just kind of saying, like, all right, you're taking my guy here, my guy here, my guy here, my guy here. And they got the six top agents together. And basically, I don't want to do the numbers because there's a lot of details to it, but most of the agents are white, of course, and they're, you know, they would ask them, like, how many coaches and GM candidates do you represent that are not, you know, this of the same background, and basically, like, they were getting uncomfortable about it, like, I don't know. So the study that the league got from some outside people basically told them it's not that people don't want to hire minority candidates, it's that these agents are pushing these package deals and they don't have diverse clientele, and that's how this ends up happening. That's the biggest issue. So Lee kind of had a secret meeting about this year, and it kind of details that meeting. Really, really fascinating to me. And again, don't quote me on these things, like these numbers and things like that, but read the story. It gets into all of the details, all the depths of it. And I thought it was a really intriguing point. And certain teams, like the Bears in particular, always hire a coach from the same agent. It's just agent feeding them a coach every year. And I think
that's ridiculous.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Potential landing spots for Aaron Glenn. Sounds like Jaguars very much in play as well. So I'm not going to say he's going to have his choice of places, but he certainly is going to have options among the Saints, the Jets, the Jaguars.
Glenn, that's been the talk of the last couple of days. Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, the Lions, DC and OC, and all these people who are interested in him. We'll get back to Ben Johnson, maybe locked in on the Raiders and the signs of that being the case and why that is. I'd never thought of why that is in the conversation you were just mentioning, Adam. ESPN story about, you know, there's been diversity issues in terms of hiring forever in the National Football League, and especially, you know, head coach is one thing, GMs are another. You just brought up a great point from the story that I don't think I realized how small the group is of agents who actually work with coaches. Two, that there are organizations that continually go to the same freaking agent for a new head coach.
Yeah, I believe. I think it's Steve McMichael, the former Bears player, is an agent now. And
well, it's not Steve McMichael because he's the one who's sick with Alzheimer's.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a former Bear.
I'm blanking on who it is too. I was going to say big dude, but yeah, it's a former defensive lineman with the Bears.
I'll butt in here real quick. It is Chicago Bears former defensive end.
Oh, so you had it right off the tip of your tongue.
I did because it was one of the topics I sent in as well.
You're a nightmare.
I am a nightmare. I'm going to shut up now while you guys get going.
I thought you had it.
I do, but I got so excited about this story that in my topics list, it's literally like three paragraphs long, so I got to skim through here for a bit.
Now we're all just going to pause and start looking it up.
Yep.
And there's someone out there. It's hardcore agent knowledge. Well, it doesn't matter right now. The point is there's a limited group of candidates because the agents are limited in who they work with. And I don't mean they are limited by someone outside. They limit themselves in terms of who they work with.
Yeah, you're talking about Chicago, former Chicago defensive end Trace Armstrong.
Trace Armstrong, that was it. Yep.
I swear to God, I was thinking Chase.
It's close.
I swear I was close.
So yeah, the Bears have gone to his clients three times in a row.
That's absurd.
Like you would have thought they learned their lesson, but they didn't. And then they'll, you know, these agents will say, well, I also have a GM candidate, and if you want my coach candidate, you got to get my GM candidate, and they push them in, and that's kind of how this has worked. And yeah. It's kind of how it's worked, and you know the league is exploring. You know, you can't really stop it, but they're exploring ways to try to, you know, handle this and move forward. And you know, sometimes it's for the best. Sometimes for the coaches, it's better to have a guy they're comfortable with. But really, for the agents, it's more of a, hey, I'm going to get I'll get two commission checks out of this, and you know, I'll have these guys. You know, kind of tied in for the next couple of years. So I don't have to worry about getting them a job the next, you know, 2 years or whatever. So, it's an issue, and the league is trying to address it, but it's very, very under the radar.
So we played that audio earlier from Danny Parkins, a radio guy who's now doing TV, and it was, you know, it's a good hot take. I think it was misguided in terms of actual knowledge, and he was flipping out because Ben Johnson could take the Raiders job, which looks like a shaky job, especially without a quarterback in place, and he's all mad that, you know, how dare he do that? He take the Raider job over the Bear job, but there's other factors like the McCaskies are a nightmare. MD is trying; he's not cheap. He has a passion. He pays attention. So that would be the difference between the owners. Here's the other thing: we don't know what Tom Brady and like what Jim Gray are saying to these potential coaches about what the plan is for quarterback. What if there is a definitive plan where that coach is like, you know what, I like that. So the first one we'll bring up, what plan could involve someone that Ben Johnson would be like, you know what, I like that, and I like him?
My speculation on this, my thought would be Hendon Hooker.
Exactly. And because a few drafts have gone by since Hooker got picked, we probably need to remind people what were the thoughts and the rumors around Hendon Hooker going into that draft.
He could have potentially been a top half of the first round guy without an injury,
right? And he had obviously what organization had some interest in him, and the Lions kind of surprised people by taking him. The Raiders were rumored to have interest in him,
yeah, among several teams, because he was more of a redshirt type of guy because he was going to miss basically the first year.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, could that be possible? Sure. But also, Ben Johnson has seen him practice for 2 years. Maybe he doesn't think he's good.
That could be the case.
Yeah.
But if you're speculating, that to me, that could be an alternate quarterback of the future plan that people aren't thinking about. People are just zoned in on this year's draft.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a guy like that. Now, on this year's draft, listen, man, we're in it, right? I mean, right now, we're in the playoffs and we're in the coaching carousel. But the other thing that's brewing beneath the surface is the frenzy that is the quarterback speculation in every draft that goes on for months and months. And who could be a hot ticket item who may move up that people aren't thinking about right now, a la you know, Bo Nix, or I'll even say Jaden Daniels. I knew Jaden Daniels was highly touted. Daniels made such a rush at the end where there were some people who were like, he's the guy, not Caleb Williams. Who's one of the guys this year where right now they might not be on that first round pick radar, but there's a lot of people who like him?
I would say the guy would have been Drew Allar, which I thought was silly, but I would imagine Jackson Dart would probably be the most likely guy this year that could move up boards.
And who is Jackson Dart?
He is at Ole Miss, a guy who is a very talented playmaker, a guy that could get into the process, into the draft process, and impress a lot of people. I don't think there's any question. One thing I was going to finish saying on Hendon Hooker, yeah. There is the possibility, because I've been talking about Hendon Hooker since Ben Johnson was kind of brought up as the candidate. If Ben Johnson is coming here and saying, hey, I know you don't have a quarterback, but here's a guy, I'm going to bring him with me, we got to trade for him, he's the guy. If Ben Johnson has seen something from Hendon Hooker, wouldn't the Lions have also seen something from Hendon Hooker and then not give up on him? I mean, that'd be the concern. And if the Lions are willing to give up on him, that probably isn't a great sign.
Well, I didn't say that he's going to get traded for free. Like, what if they're actually asking for something of significance? And I will tell you that they like him, but you've got Jared Goff in the fold, and they ain't turning to Hendon Hooker anytime soon. So if they can get some real draft value for him, some real assets, then I think they might move him.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to monitor if he does get the job.
What do you think of the comparisons of Jackson Dart being this year's Bo Nix?
I mean, yeah, it could potentially be intriguing and could be a similar type of guy. I mean, I think Bo Nix just played so many games. I know Jackson Dart has played a lot. The reason Bo Nix, I think, was looked at by some teams as being the most NFL ready was just because of how old he was. How long he'd been around, so many different systems, everything else. And I don't, you know, I've said this consistently, but I don't think Bo Nix, I think there's about three or four teams that Bo Nix would have been successful with. And maybe that's the case with Jackson Dart, too, and maybe the Raiders and, you know, potentially Ben Johnson are the right system for him if they bring him in. But I think it was a lightning in a bottle type of situation with Bo Nix.
Okay, plans. Steelers plans at quarterback. What do you think they're talking about in the organization?
Sam Darnold. I mean, do they want to run it back? With Justin Fields, who they didn't think was good enough to get him over the hump. Russell Wilson, who obviously wasn't. The, you know, statements obviously out of Mike Tomlin the last couple of days of there are going to be major changes, and it doesn't seem like that's going to be on the coaching staff. So where do these major changes happen? You would think it has to be a quarterback. And how many guys are available right now that will, you know, take a playoff team and make them a contender? Not many, and I don't know that Sam Darnold's a guy either, but it's probably the name at the top of their list.
Wow. Colin Cowherd on our sister station, Fox 1340, had some suggestions for drastic changes with Pittsburgh.
The Steelers have been, putting Band-Aids on for 6 years. I think they have to rip it off. I would trade T.J. Watt, George Pickens, two first-round picks if your scouting department said Shedeur Sanders is the guy. Because I think Cam Ward's going to go number one. I think Shedeur Sanders you could get at number five, six, or seven. But the Steelers, what's interesting is they're in the same predicament they were in 2022, where they need a quarterback, and it's a lousy quarterback draft. And they settled for Kenny Pickett.
Okay. I like the idea. I like the aggression. I know Colin will mention it all the time on the air that he talks to GMs. Good deal. Is there a GM who told him that the value of moving up in the draft would have to involve TJ Watt? That seems preposterous to me.
Yeah.
I would say picks. It's both sided. I'm not trading TJ Watt to move up. I'm embarrassed to throw George Pickens at anyone because I know what's going to come back and they'll be like, what? No, you don't want him. We know you don't want him. We don't want him.
George Pickens in a one for the five pick.
That would be a great deal. Congrats. But you're not, that's not going to
do that in a second.
But yes, exactly. But am I wrong? I mean, TJ Watt would not have to go in a deal to move up in the freaking draft.
No, I mean, you would move up. If that's what you want, it would work. I just don't. I don't know. I don't know that I would do that.
A little pricey. And then the other issue is, would Shador and Deion to a certain, you know, extent, would they blend with a Tomlin? Tomlin has worked with everyone. I mean, and I'm not saying those two guys are crazy. They're big personalities, but Tomlin has worked with big personalities, and some of those guys are crazy.
I don't think it would be disqualifying.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Let me buy a beer.
Sure.
These fans, I love them. When I came in, they didn't recognize me at first, but then when I told them who I was, next thing you know, they're buying me my favorite beer, Light Beer. They know us ex-big leaguers drink Light because it's got a third less calories than their regular beer, it's less filling, and it tastes great. Thanks.
Hey, it's a pleasure to buy a beer for a great pitcher like Whitey Ford.
Hey, Light.
So I lied.
Light Beer for everything you always wanted in a beer, and less.
Hey, Whitey, I thought you were a lefty.
Oh, that's right.
I don't think for one second that Griffin knows who Bob Uecker is. I know Adam does. Even though that beep light commercial was probably from the early 80s or late 70s. Yeah, Bob Uecker passed away.
Harry Doyle?
Harry Doyle in the movie.
Major League and Major League 2 and Major League 3.
And you think that was one of his finest performances? He was actually a regular on the talk show circuit. He was very good on that, doing that with Carson.
I knew that he had done some Carsons. Like, I remember hearing about that and seeing some clips. I had no idea how often. And then I believe I was watching the the tribute that MLB Network put together. You know, he did the show over 100 times.
Wow.
Can you imagine an announcer that, like a baseball play by play announcer that did Johnny Carson over 100 times?
Well, you know, on Letterman, Marv Albert used to do it all the time. Costas made the circles on those shows, but I thought Costas was lame and nowhere near as good as either one of those guys when he did those kind of talk shows. Now, Uecker was super talented. Actually, that's a whole different topic we can get into. Because, you know, it's funny, I don't know why we were sharing a brain on this one about Uecker being on 100 times and someone from the sports world being on that often. All these guys over the years, the talk show people, have regulars. And you kind of forget who's on a regular basis. I was reminded of this 6 months ago. Like, I thought Terry Garr on Letterman was always really funny, and they had a good back and forth, right? I never watched the late night talk shows now. Because they talk politics, they always did, so that's stupid. When I was on the plane, I was watching Colbert, and who did Colbert had? I was trying to think, like, who were his regulars, but he had Kate Winslet on, and I was watching. I'm like, it feels like these two have been on this show together multiple times because the rapport between them was like freaking dynamite. Random thoughts. There's no topic here. There's just certain people who go on shows, and I mean, I guess the way that, well, you know, I was thinking of it, the talk show world, I guess there must be days where you're like, oh, crap, we had someone back out. Call Uecker. Call Terry Garr. Like, who's a regular we can get on who lives across town who can drive over here in time?
I mean, I'm sure they have a lot of those. Uecker's, like, on the road with the team, so it's only when they play, like, the Dodgers or the Angels, or I guess it would be, back in the day, just the Dodgers when they're in the NL, but... Yeah, like, it's just wild. I guess he did some national games, too, but for a local play-by-play radio guy. A
Milwaukee announcer.
Yeah. Like, Marv Albert was in New York.
Yeah, well, that's right. You're right. Marv was there all the time, and you're right. Back to Uecker, Mr. Belvedere, of course. I'm going to sound really cheesy here because, you know, I watch commercials, and I've always watched commercials. I know you don't now anymore because you don't have to. I always thought those beer commercials were pretty hilarious. And the collection, I think back, I'm like, so we'll just say the name of the beer. It was, at the time, Miller Lite, which is still around and does well. It's not Bud Light in terms of sales. I don't know. If you guys want to go all, you know, conspiratorial and nonsense, that's not my commentary. My guess is that at the time, the market share for Bud Light was gigantic. Or may, did Miller Lite actually come before Bud Light? Maybe I'm way off on this. Idea. And it was just like pitching, like the notion of a light beer. People were like, oh, it's disgusting. It's water. But they had to have a pretty good payroll to have all those athletes, right?
Oh, you would think so. And, I mean, they did a ton with Uecker. And just watching him back with this week with, you know, I must be in the front row and he's sitting up in the upper deck. It was some good stuff.
And the guy in that commercial, if you saw it on the web, who was like, let me buy you a beer, was actually John Goodman.
Yeah.
John Goodman at the bar.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Yep, stop by and get dinner at Oasis tonight, Decatur, just south of Trop. Steak and Lobster Night. They got great dinner specials every day, Steak and Lobster Night at Oasis Bar and Grill. Voluminous menu. Great drink selection, awesome gaming. Check it out. On Decatur, south of Trop. Cofield, San Diego, Adam Hill is at our Friday home. Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Couple things to catch up on, Adam. One, Miller Lite, early 70s when it came along. Bud Light, 1982.
Wow.
Yep. First celebrity, you're going to laugh. First celebrity athlete endorsement person in a Miller Lite commercial.
No clue.
You're never going to get it. Yeah. Jets running back Matt Snell.
Wow.
I'm guessing because they needed a New York athlete.
It's a big deal for him.
They were sort of hot at the time. Sure.
Couldn't get Namath.
No. I do have to bring up a topic I've spoken about in the past when I'm at the spot, which I'm at the spot in San Diego once a year. But I remember it every time. I'm going to ask you again. To get into the M Club Lounge, can I buy my status? How do I do this? Because you're gifted this access, and I feel like less than a person when I watch all these people go in. How do I do it?
With the M Club Lounge?
It's the Marriott Lounge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to stay a lot.
I'm so jealous of you.
Yeah. I mean,
although my one experience there, I almost got, you know, trucked or sat on by a person I don't like, a celebrity I don't like.
It was Jim Boeheim.
It was Jim Boeheim, yep. And you were all worried that I was going to get up and try to start fighting 82-year-old Jim Boeheim, who is significantly taller than me.
I didn't care if you fought Boeheim. I just don't want to lose my access.
That's a thing, yep.
Yeah. I was like, just don't. Please don't ruin it. Don't do it around me. Yeah.
Don't make a scene.
The thing about it is it's very wide-ranging. Like, some of them are very nice. The one that you're talking about where we saw Boeheim is a very nice one. Some of them are just
that was very average.
Beautiful.
Yeah. That was beautiful.
But it's nice to have it.
Phoenix.
Man, that's usually where I spend time writing. Yeah, it's usually where I spend time writing on the road.
I would have so many coffees. I bet you I could do the show in there.
Well, there'd probably be people in there right now, so it wouldn't be great.
And as an M Clubber for life, I'm sure you would stand up and be like, please, sir, yes, quiet down.
We're trying to have a nice night in here.
Serenity now! Like, really, I need serenity. Stop.
I can tell you, I was at, man, one of the hotels when I was at UFC Mexico City last year.
Right.
I mean, incredible.
Your luxury hotel. Everyone's like, did you rough it? Did you rough it in Mexico City? You're like, not really.
The club was on the top floor, overlooked the entire city. It was incredible.
We're going to talk to Ryan McKinnell, who's a big Notre Dame fan. We're going to get into MMA, get into some Chicago Bear stuff, too, in less than 10 minutes. I'm going to jump to Monday's game because we're not going to be in on Monday. It's Martin Luther King Day, so we have the day off. Do you think Ohio State Notre Dame is going to be a blowout?
No, because I don't think it's going to be high scoring, but I don't think it's going to be necessarily close.
Okay.
But I think it's low scoring enough that you're not going to say it's a blowout, but if it's, you know, if it's like a 24-10, 24-13 type game, I wouldn't be surprised. Right. But I don't think it's going to come down to the end.
You know, the last six playoff games have been decided by at least 15 points.
Yeah.
Average winning margin's been gigantic. And I was thinking back, I'm like, well, you know, they had a long layoff before the game. Well, the system before this was a Final Four, so they cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, usually, I mean, I think
maybe it was the way the field was seeded, and now we've got a field that's actually, I mean, I don't think people love the seeding. We'll see. But there's not going to be if Notre Dame gets bombed in this game, there's not going to be a trend to pull from this first field of 12 college football playoff.
Yeah, and you also tend to have games that, you know, maybe under normal circumstances are a 10-point game that turn into 24 because the team's like, well, you know, we're going to go all out, try to win, you know, be down 14 from our own 5, 4th and 15, and go for it, which teams usually need to surrender and punt. Sometimes you're like, nah, we'll keep it going. So it could get away at the end in some of these championship games for sure, but that really hasn't been the case very often. It's been just a lot of blowouts. Thank goodness last year I couldn't have handled a close game. Needed to have the blowout victory, so that was nice. But, yeah, I think Ohio State's significantly better. And I do – man, as much as I hate to say it, I do want Ohio State to win as much as I hate them, because I hate Notre Dame equally. But I do want to see Ohio State rewarded. Like, their fans – fans got it. And I said this before the year started.
Like, well, you remember, I brought this up last year, because I know where you're going with this, I think. I brought this up last year, and I was like, I don't want to hear Ryan Day whining about NIL, but really it was a call to the fans and the donors.
Yeah, and they stepped up. And it's why, you know, why I bet Ohio State, why I still thought, even when they were down, that they were going to win. Why even when they lost to Michigan, I, you know, told one of the players, it's not hard to figure out, I told one of the players in the Raiders locker room, like, you guys are winning the title. And you know, he was down and devastated. He said, I'd rather beat Michigan than win the title. But I said, you guys are winning the title. There's just too much talent out there. And their fans last year got so mad at Michigan winning a title that they basically gave the program a blank check and said, go buy the best team you can. And by whatever measures, they allegedly spent $50 million on this roster. And good for them.
Now it's 50. Now it's 50.
They should. That was what it was before the year. And they should be rewarded.
Did you... To sniff it out, did you look up at the Ohio State person and say, chin up, big fella?
No.
Really? Okay. No. I thought it was an offensive lineman.
It might have been.
Well, what are we doing, technicalities here? Are we sitting down?
Well, no.
Are we sitting at a table?
I said something.
Was someone who's taller than you.
No, but I had said something, I think, when you were not here that I... People figured out who it was, and I probably shouldn't have said it, that he said it to me. So
okay. We'll keep it quiet.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry. I didn't know you'd already gaffed on this one.
Yeah.
NFL games on Saturday. Chiefs are up to 9 against the Texans. Lions 9.5 against the Commies. Close game in either one.
Yeah, I think it could be. The Chiefs, I mean, if you go look at what they've done in divisional rounds, it's been absolutely ridiculous. I think... What the number was, they have not lost a divisional round game with Mahomes. Mahomes, 16 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 16 total touchdowns, including rushing, 0 interceptions in divisional round games. He's just been absolutely unbelievable. There could be some concern out of that game because he just hasn't played in so long. He hasn't played meaningful rep since Christmas. Probably gave him some time to get healthy for sure, but it's been a long time since he's played a snap that mattered, and most of the players have played a snap that mattered, so that could be some concern. And Houston's defense is just playing really, really well right now. In the Lions game, I just think the Commanders are so good offensively right now and so plugged in, they should be able to score with the Lions. I think they're gonna start to fall behind and run out of gas trying to score every single possession. But I think for a while they're gonna keep it close in terms of, you know, scoring as often as they can.
But Adam, what about the rust for the teams on the bye, like in college football?
Well, that's what I said. I'm concerned about it with the Chiefs. They haven't played a meaningful snap in a month.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, and I was being sarcastic because I don't think there was rust on the teams who got the seed, they ran into either tough matchups or were overseeded, which again would be tough matchups.
You know, I think it's possible with the Chiefs, though. I mean, we'll see how they come out at the beginning of the game, but I think the argument for the Chiefs is that Patrick Mahomes got healthy, and he wasn't, and that's probably a good thing for them. But it has been a month. Like, they have not played a meaningful snap in a month. That's crazy.
Will the Eagles trounce the Rams? They're laying six. Jared Verse doesn't like Eagles fans, so that's something to weaponize. And also, will the Eagle fans rally for Rhino? Ryan Caldwell, the victim of something. I don't know. Somehow victim after dropping C-bombs on a female fan.
I don't think they care to rally for him.
I don't think they do either. Yeah. Well, I think they rally around types like that because many of them are like that.
I feel that feels like an Eagles 3-point win somewhere along the way. Obviously a short week for the Rams, traveling cross country, everything they're going through. I feel like that's the other close game potentially. If Baltimore and Buffalo is a close game, I think that's the other close one where you see it coming down to the end. But I think the Eagles, you know, had their week to figure it out last week. Obviously, Hurts hadn't played in a while with the concussion. That had been about a month for him. He got back and got, you know, into the flow a little bit last week. We'll see if AJ Brown's book can inspire him. But I do think the Eagles win a close one.
I'll set up the stage here. I see Griffin shaking his head already. I don't know if this is because of this game, but Bills and Ravens, I'm guessing referees are in the back pocket of Josh Allen. Nick Wright proved that with a rant the other day. Ravens don't Fantastic. Have a shot.
Ravens have a shot. I find the narrative fascinating. And again, I actually listened to your favorite show a little bit. I think the Rebels are there. I was listening to your favorite show on the way here, and they did the thing that is really bothering me this week more than anything. The narrative that is really infuriating me is that Lamar Jackson has a lot to prove in this game, and the other guy doesn't. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
And your guys, what Covino and Rich, were saying it again today.
I thought you were talking about it is what it is with Cameron.
No, your guys, Covino and Rich. They were just saying, like, man, Lamar really has to prove something. If he doesn't win this one, like, what, you know, what are we going to start saying about him? He can't win the big game. And I was like, what?
Right, Josh Allen.
This would be, what, the third straight divisional round game at home that the Bills lost? Like, if they lose. Again, who knows how it's going to play out. I think it's going to be a really good game. But they're both quarterbacks have something to prove in terms of the postseason. Actually, I don't think either does, really. But if you're going to say one does, then you have to say they both do.
What if I framed it like this? I think that Lamar does need to prove it a little more than Josh Allen because I think he's better. And I think his team has been better. That's kind of a compliment.
So, yeah, I think there's no question he's been better.
Right.
But soon have three MVPs to back it up. But as you know, somebody got shot down on Twitter today because they said, you know, if the Bills lose this week, then you'll be what, seven seasons into Josh Allen with no first team AP, all pro, no MVPs, no Super Bowl appearances. Like, there's questions that start being answered.
I don't have much of a rooting interest in one or the other. I'd like to see both of them break through because breaking through means that the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl. So just one of them do it.
Lions would be good.
Lions would be good as well. But in the AFC, I'd like to see the Chiefs not make the Super Bowl. This will be an angle we get into. I think New Orleans is much better off if the Bills – well, certainly if the Lions make it, Lions fans are going to invade New Orleans. But Bills fans will do it. And I think Baltimore will turn out a lot of fans too. It's a relatively easy trip for a lot of those places that are competing right now for a Super Bowl spot. We'll come back 5 o'clock hour, Cofield & Company, San Diego, and down at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook & Bar.